Blog Talk Radio.
Reason is our weapon of choice. Skeptics know that you do have a voice. Science, not so we'll be defying it. What we know, so it's best to apply it. Feed you information, deposits the knowledge, so you know ignorance is not an option. Welcome to the RSS feed with your host, Raina Rose. Skeptical superwoman, but in plain clothes. She ain't no Jane Doe, nor is she a day old. So don't come with arguments, weakly molded like Plato. Kicking false info like Kato, but it should be a J-O. To expand your mind like a transit line. Nothing is ever true, cause you think so. It's evident that you never win, cause the evidence you present is irrelevant. In the present tense, it's reckless and negligent. You never ask questions or to think ignorance is just irrelevant. So we spark debate, cause you know the truth is hard to take. Especially with so many falsehoods that we saw today. Ocean reality, we start to face. Shout out to the skeptics, my freak thinkers. The lyrical missiles that fire heat seekers. Aim that you shoot to win the leg. You weak creatures, Christian scientists to debate evolution. Elitists in the government that hate the revolution. Armchair activists who overstate their contribution to the movement, cause they say they have solutions. So it's best to listen to understand skepticism is the religion. And so we get a better vision of how the world works in what we call marvelous to make a better future. You know that it starts with us. Progressive thoughts, progressive talks, the sharing of ideas, the medicine we need. Another dose of the RSSD. Say what? Another dose of the RSSD.
All right. Thanks a lot, everybody, for tuning in. Today, obviously, we're going to be talking about conspiracy theories, but I just wanted to say thank you so much to MC Brooks, who did that wonderful opening theme. Okay. Never thought I'd ever be rocking out to my own theme song. It's pretty awesome. So, I feel like that guy in I'm Gonna Get You Sucker, when he was like, you know, he's walking around with the band and they're like, who's that? That's my theme music. So yeah, I'm really liking that. Thanks a lot, MC Brooks. That was awesome. You're very talented, and you know, you guys should check him out. He's on Facebook and on YouTube. Is it still TMI06, Marcus?
Yes, ma'am.
TMI06 is the YouTube channel, and you're also on Bandcamp and what else?
Twitter. I'm on everything. Twitter. MySpace, Twitter, Bandcamp.
So basically Google it.
Live Journal. Yeah. Run down the list.
Google him. If you see someone named MC Brooks, it's probably him. So go on ahead and follow him.
I do have a Spanish impersonator, but he has like an accent over the sea or something.
Okay. Well, that makes it easier. So anyway, I just want to introduce my panel before we get started. Of course, MC Brooks is on today, but we also have Rev X, who's also on Twitter and has his own blog. And the name, of course, of your blog is escaping me. I'm sorry. I got a lot of stuff in my mind right now.
Oh, it's called The Rev Speak.
Rev Speak. And it's actually, yeah, it's really entertaining, guys. It's really entertaining. He writes very well, and he's very informed. You can learn a lot. His Twitter, though, is the real spot to be. His Twitter is so entertaining, y'all. Y'all have to get on it, seriously. And how do they find you on Twitter?
You can find me at Rev_Xavier.
Okay, cool. Well, anyway, so y'all just so y'all know, this is pretty much how I generally would like the format of my show to be. It's generally going to be a panel of, you know, intelligent beings like MC Brooks and RevX, you know, not to be confused with the other RevX on YouTube. But this is generally how I want the show to be, how it's going to be. We're going to invite some interesting people on here with different perspectives. We're going to talk about different things. If you're calling in, just know that we're going to hold off on calls. We're going to let the panel speak, and then we'll open up the lines. When we open up the lines, you'll have 20 seconds to speak, and if we want to bring you back for a rebuttal or something along those lines to get more information, we'll do that. But this is just to keep some semblance of order. So that's how we're going about things today. So, of course, again, we're talking about conspiracy theories and particularly the Illuminati and the New World Order. So if y'all are hoping to talk about something else, I'm sorry, this is not the day. We'll be covering some other conspiracy theories on other occasions. But today it's just New World Order and Illuminati. So what are, or rather, what is a conspiracy theory is the first question. Do you guys want to kind of give your idea of what they are first? I mean, based on your research?
Well, based on my research, some conspiracies can be labeled true, something like Watergate, but usually I target them as being a theory pushed by someone who is looking to claim there's some sort of malevolence or some kind of sinister plot going on. They're not all necessarily fitting of that definition, but given my research, that's how I would define them.
What about you, Marcus, or Brooks?
You can call me either. Okay. Mine isn't too different. Mine was just more like along the lines of, from what I've read, they're more, I guess, alternative theories, alternative explanations as to why things happen a certain way. It also consists of, connecting dots that a lot of the times aren't there. But this is just for the vast majority. I mean, like Rev said, there are a couple that, really don't fit that mold, but the vast majority really consists of connecting dots that aren't there and, trying to offer explanations because for some reason, the regular one isn't good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Those are pretty good definitions, I think. So obviously, there's the dictionary definition that's pretty much going to be, an act of conspiring that takes place between, two or more people. An evil, unlawful, treacherous act. Or a legal definition is an agreement by two or more persons to commit a crime. But I think the definition that I like after reading up this past week or so is a conspiracy theory is generally counted as such if it's an effort to explain some event or practice by reference to the machinations of powerful people who have also managed to conceal their role. I think that is pretty much what gets at the heart of most conspiracy theories. It's not just that people have plans. It's that it's a lot of powerful people who conceal their role in whatever is going down. And I think there's a lot of different features of a conspiracy theory. But before I get to those, I did like a couple of things I saw. Like Karl Popper, the philosopher, he said that conspiracy theories tend to overlook the pervasive unintended consequences of political or social action, and that they assume all consequences must have been intended by someone. Of course, like you said, using that quote. That's my favorite quote, so I'm not going to really go through the other ones. But just like you said, X, some of the conspiracies actually turned out to be true, like Watergate, the LSD and the other drugs that were administered to people through MKUltra by the CIA actually happened. Even though there's a lot of people who still have a lot of, conspiracy theories around MKUltra that are not verified. And then, of course, there was COINTELPRO, and, there's been others. But I think one of the main features is that you don't have evidence for these things. And one thing I read said it's kind of useful to think about conspiracy theorizing as a meme. It's like something that you pass from one person to another, and it's basically, there's a couple of features to it. It basically competes with other memes like fair debate or expertise or resistance to orthodoxy.
Mm-hmm.
We can talk about that, but let's see. And then they were also saying that the central logic of the conspiracy theme is to question on speculative grounds everything that the establishment says. And that's a major problem, right? Because, I mean, on the one hand, no one is saying that you should just believe anything that somebody tells you just because they're from the government or from anything else. But it commits the genetic fallacy by saying, oh, just because this came from the government, it must be disinformation.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know?
So
what do you think about that?
If you're the one that's presenting the official explanation or the explanation of the fact, you might be perceived as being in on it too. You know, you're
right,
the
that's
person.
Another
that's
another problem.
Mm-hmm,
exactly.
You're the sheep, and you're carrying the water for the government or the regulatory agency or the consensus group. And since you're not presenting the alternative explanation, you're in trouble too.
Right,
you're a dupe. You're a dupe. and that's one of the problems that that comes in when having conversations with people who believe certain things in this area. And of course, most people who believe in one conspiracy theory are prone to believing others. So if you look, like, someone who believes in the Illuminati is prone to believing in chemtrails, is prone to believing in, you know, anti-vaccination, you know, propaganda, is prone to believing in, you know, all types of things, you know. So what do you guys think about that? Do you know anyone like that?
Yes, I know of a couple of people like that. I don't want to go too far into it, but I had a conversation with a mother, and her political leanings are anti-government. She's anti-government, anti-establishment. She's also an atheist, and I'd say she's an atheist by default. But not only does she accept anti-vaccination stuff, she believes in the Illuminati, she accepts that there's fluoride in the water, there's all these chemicals in the food that's dumbing people down. She accepts just about every conspiracy theory that, especially if it's targeted toward black folks, she accepts it.
Right.
Shoot, the only person I know for sure is myself as a teenager.
Go ahead and tell us more about, like, what you sort of believe in.
Well, for me, it started off listening to, like, you know, Rage Against the Machine and getting so caught up in all of that, and then I discovered the likes of, like, Immortal Technique and, you know, a whole bunch of these anti-government musicians. But they make songs that pretty much, you know, where they disperse information about, you know, there being secret governments and whatnot. I got so caught up in it that I was just like, well, you know what? This shit must be true because I'm not hearing about any of this on the news. And from there, I started, you know, I went deep into, you know, shadow governments and the Illuminati. And then from there, I became, you know, anti-vaccination and anti-science and whole bunch of stuff until pretty much a couple of years ago. I was like, well, it sounds like shit. None of it actually makes any real sense.
Right. No,
but you know what?
I
know what that shows is...
Okay.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I actually kind of had a similar experience to a degree. I started to believe in a lot of, especially when I was a Christian, I believed in the Illuminati. I believed the Illuminati were just an arm of Satan and his plans to, and part of, you know, God's overall plan, you know, for the end time, you know, so, and in my mind, anything that I saw could be justified, just only further justified my belief. You know, if we went to war, that was just another sign of the end times. It's like anything that you see, you just rationalize as being part of this overarching conspiracy.
And then if you add that in with the fact that, like, the Bush administration was really secretive with a lot of their information, it kind of makes you think, well, why are these third-party sites reporting on this stuff that I can't even get an actual explanation? You know, they're not talking about it. What the hell is up? You know, that's kind of how your thought process goes. Something must be up because they're not talking about it, but it's obviously, you know, a big deal. but that also
it also shows how the alternative news business is a business, it's its own industry, because you can play on the fact that, hey, look, the people that are supposed to be telling you stuff, if you think that they should be doing so, they're not doing it. And here we are, we're presenting the real narrative. This is the real thing that's going on. So it's very powerful, especially if you can make the alternative story point to some kind of suffering going on in the world. It is a very powerful tactic to use.
Yeah,
and people
because people want explanations for the things that they see. You know, it's harder to live in a world, you know, where things are less clear cut, where they're less black and white. It's easier to have a ready made explanation, you know, that already fits into a lot of our preconceived ideas and biases that we already hold. Before we continue any further, I just wanted to get into some of the features because I think we're already headed that direction. So some of the features of a conspiracy theory, and you guys can chime in after I give some of these, is that conspiracy theories tend to be self-sealing to the arguments that give rise to to. They account for their plausibility that way. So, like, if someone says, does the government go after the world's richest man, Bill Gates, right? And then someone will say, ha, it's a charade aimed at getting us off the fence. You know what I mean? Or wasn't Hitler the one who thought he could rule the world and didn't the Allies stop him? And then someone will say something like, well, Hitler was a dupe, and he was used to advance the sinister plot to rule the world by the Illuminati. So, like, nothing, so, like, there's no penetrance of reason, because anything can be used to further promote the irrational belief, the conspiracy theory. And then there's also a tendency to assign certain powers, often sort of godlike powers, to certain agents, like the ability to control others and maintain secrets. So, like, you know, some folks, you know, they think that, for example, the recent shooting in Aurora and even the shooting in Wisconsin were, you know, were done by the government through some sort of mind control, despite the evidence that, at least in the one case with Wisconsin, you had a white supremacist who referred to people who were not white as dirt people. So, you know, you have that, and then obviously you have a very mentally disturbed young man who faced a heavy disappointment in his life recently, and as a result of probably some untreated psychosis, went into a movie theater and shot several people. You know, and then there's also a tendency to perceive effects as the result of agency or intention to all action, especially by those who may gain benefit. And this is part of, I think, the main cause, like I was saying, about the need to have an explanation for everything. And I think this is a part of the real considerable appeal that a lot of these conspiracy theories have. What do you guys think?
I certainly think it's a central element. I mean, we tend to want simple and intuitive explanations for events. Something not having a cause or something that's unexplained or inexplicable is very unappealing to us. So if we can present a thesis or a hypothesis that lines up all the things that we're thinking, and we think it's logical, and we can present it to others, we're going to start believing it and we're going to start promoting it. But we have to accept that our intuitions can be quite naive, and what we like to call common sense is often wrong. Or we don't necessarily like to do that.
Yeah, common sense can lead to false conclusions. It happens all the time.
You already know. I've already said, just because something makes sense doesn't mean it's necessarily accurate. You know, things, if you draw connections between it can make sense, doesn't mean that it's true, accurate, or there's anything to even back it up. But in our minds, or in a lot of people's minds, because it makes sense, then, you know, clearly it must be true. Because, you know, there's, because this, in our minds, it makes the most sense out of any other possible explanation, which, you know, doesn't even leave, really leave room for, like, the things that we don't know.
Right. And, you know, it satisfies, I think, for a lot of people, an emotional need, you know, emotional needs, too, and sort of becomes sort of a part of their inner self. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It becomes a part of their worldview. Because I was reading Carl Sagan, and the name of the book escapes me right now. But, you know, he talks about a taxi ride where he was talking to the cab driver, and he was really excited to be talking to a scientist. And he had so many questions, and he wanted to talk to him about everything, like from Atlantis to UFOs and all of these other things. And when Carl Sagan, you know, kind of told this guy, like, you know, most of that isn't true, or most of that hasn't, you know, been verified with evidence, he could kind of see that it kind of destroyed a little piece of this man's, like, inner life and the things that he was really interested in. He really thought that these things represented science. They really represented reality for him. And so he viewed almost everything around him through this lens. You know, he thought, and it also is also, I think people who believe in these conspiracy theories, they think it makes them special. It makes them feel special that they know something that other people don't know.
Right, like they're privy to special information and whatnot.
Right.
And it gives them a way to express their personality and you know, say, hey, I'm important, and I'm sounding the alarm to all this information, and you need to pay attention.
Right. It gives them a sense of worth and whatnot. Like, yeah,
absolutely. And so let's kind of maybe discuss. Oh, and this is another thing. I had written down, to go along with what you said earlier, was, you know, because of all of these things and the, you know, how you feel like you have privileged information and all these sorts of things, it makes you less likely to give attention to people who debunk these things or have information to refute these things because, of course, they got to be agents or they got to be dupes. You know, for the people who are responsible for the conspiracy in the first place. So, and so, like, some of the problems, let's get into some of the problems with, believing in these things or the reasons, I guess, for believing these things. So we were talking about reasoning and basically, you know, how we were talking about agency a little bit. So, you know, human beings are... because of the way that our brains have evolved, we have a tendency to perceive patterns, even in areas where there's no real pattern. Like if you've ever, like for example, like white noise, like people who listen to white noise, that's just random, you know, that's just random sounds, that's random frequencies, and there's really nothing in it. But there's people who spend, you know, devote entire lives to listening to white noise for voices from beyond, you know. and the fact of the matter is that there's really nothing there. There's no, when you analyze these, you know, these supposed voices that they're hearing, there's nothing there. There's nothing like a voice. It's mechanical noise. It's it. And so because of this perception of agency, you know, it's useful in some manners, right? Because, you know, it helps us, you know, to understand, like, if there's something rustling in the bush, it's probably a predator. You know what I mean? So we probably want to get the hell out of there, you know? But it gets misused when we apply it to other areas, right? Like, what do you think?
And I think I understand where you're coming from because it has some kind of evolutionary usage, you know, but if we apply it incorrectly, the reasoning may not come out the same kind of way. Like, okay, well, there's something rustling in the bushes. you attach it to maybe, I don't know, you take that thinking and you apply it to the government, and you're thinking that the government is automatically targeting you specifically out of all people to do something to whatever it is that you want to confirm, whether you think that they're sticking something in the water, whether you think that they're sitting outside your house in black Suburbans and looking for you. If you transfer it incorrectly, it has some detrimental effects on you and the people you tell it to.
Absolutely. What do you think, Marcus?
I agree with that, actually. Yeah, I know, because for me right now, I was just thinking, you know, it just kind of makes you sound batshit crazy. It kind of makes you sound batshit. I mean, because I know if I were to hear anyone I know, or if I were to just hear the people around D.C. and actually hear them often around where the Israelites are, because they all preach from the same pedestal, basically, it just makes you sound crazy. Like, what makes, I often wonder what kind of makes these people think that, you know, that someone like them will be targeted versus someone who actually is maybe a bit more vocal, like an Alex Jones type, for example, or, you know, or a KRS-One type, someone who's, you know, preaching. Like, it just kind of reminds me of, you know, the guy, I can't even think of what movie that is, but, there's always a guy, or in at least a lot of sitcoms or movies, where they have the guy sitting in a box, you know, on the edge of a cliff with all these wave frequencies and, you know, trying to hear for aliens or some shit. It just makes you sound great. As far as I'm concerned.
And also, you know, when you apply that reasoning to everything, it really ignores, like, a lot of other things that could possibly be involved. Like, you know, when you have groups of people, you know, big groups of people, they tend to, they tend to all have different agendas, and they tend to all have different things going on, and so sometimes the sort of effects that a group like that can have are not necessarily planned, they're not necessarily orchestrated, but they can come about just, you know, through, you know, just the sort of dynamics of groups and how they interact. You know, like, for example, if you put in some paperwork, you know, for something that you need from the government, like a business license, you know, a lot of people, like, they'll put in their license and then it'll come back and they'll say, you misspelled something. And maybe it turned out you didn't misspell something. Maybe it's just because of the process of bureaucracy, you know. You had a typist who was flipping that day. You know what I mean? She was flipping. It wasn't that everybody was like, it wasn't like everybody was like, you know what, I'm selecting this dude right here. You know what I mean? To mess up, to throw a wrench in his game. You know what I mean? It's just sometimes it happens like that. I mean, you know, and to go back to what Marcus has said about the guy sitting on the edge of the cliff, like, how many times have you been at home and the cable's gone out and you were like, damn you, Comcast? Like, they just did it to you.
Comcast is like, okay, we're going to shut this one guy's thing off. Everyone else is upstairs. It's just his. You know?
It's like, we don't want you. Like, look, we don't want you to watch Animal Planet today. We don't want you to be educated about the life cycle of the kangaroo. So we're going to throw this shit. We're going to throw a wrench to your game. Yeah. But, yeah, you can get very paranoid, you know, if you apply that sort of to everything. And then also, I think something that stood out for me was hey, Marcus, can you mute for a second?
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry about that. It's cool. I was going to say another thing that kind of stood out for me was there's a difference between truth and between something being justified and something being true.
Mm-hmm.
So you can believe what you know in a lot of different things. That doesn't mean that you're justified to believe in those things, or you can believe in things and be justified and they're not true. You know, like. Black people, to a certain degree, they kind of have some reason, you know, to be skeptical of the government, considering, you know, its history with black people. They do. they have some justification. That doesn't mean that their beliefs about the government, anything they believe about the government is true.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, you know, if you, and like, just like there's misgivings that black people have about the medical industry, you know, or the medical, you know, field. You know,
mm-hmm.
you're right to be somewhat skeptical. You know, there are some people who have, you know, who have purposefully taken advantage of because of racism. Some people, you know, there's some things that have happened that have been, you know, just sort of a misunderstanding of ethics or not being at a point where ethics have evolved enough to understand things like informed consent, which is a major issue that we'll have to talk about when we talk about medical apartheid and the Tuskegee experiment. But, you know, there's reasons why black people are somewhat skeptical of the government, skeptical of medicine, science, whatever. But that doesn't mean that everything they believe is true or that they're, you know, they should believe those things. What do you think?
Right. Well, I know that we are very skeptical, and if you want to be skeptical of I'm not saying that we shouldn't be skeptical of government activities, even, you know, regulatory agencies. But how we express our misgivings or our skepticism, we ought to be very careful about that. Because
right,
some people
go too far.
Mm-hmm. And some people try to switch out skepticism for cynicism. Because it's okay to question what happened with the Tuskegee experiment. But if you use that as a springboard to claim that the government created AIDS specifically to target black folks, that's a problem.
Yeah, that's a
number
good
one.
Idea.
That's the kind of cynicism that will have effects about how people go to, you know, whether they see the doctor or not. It's going to affect AIDS funding. It may even call into question other proven. Medical findings and studies and affect people's health. So skepticism, that's good. Cynicism, that's not good.
Is Conspiracy
right.
Brother still on the line?
Wait, what?
Right. I was calling you Conspiracy Brother because I remember conversations we've had in the past. So go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I think, well, Rev Ned pretty much nailed it on the head, but I think also when it comes to African-Americans especially, I think there's a certain emotional attachment that comes with it because it affects us. And with us, you know, kind of identifying ourselves as African-Americans, like, we kind of, the skepticism part, you know, like Rev said, that's the good part. But we seriously take these things to heart and think, you know, it's not just one thing. It's a group of things. It's a whole lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's almost like, you know, nothing is on the table or everything is on the table as far as it goes. You know, if this one thing happened to us, that happened. You know, they, you know, God, lost my train of thought.
Well, if you get it back, let me know. I just to keep things moving, so a couple of the other problems, obviously, is that people sometimes mistakenly attribute the intention, if there is an intention, right? Sometimes they misattribute the intention to the wrong party or the wrong parties.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like some of these former domestic terrorism incidents or even the more recent ones that I named, you know, some people, they won't attribute the action of that man Page in Wisconsin to Page. They'll assign it to the government or they'll assign it to the Illuminati or someone else rather than this man who, from what it appears, acted, I guess, alone in the sense that he did it himself, but not so alone in the sense that, you know, it was, you know, he was cultivated in white supremacist groups and militias. So,
mm-hmm.
And also in a military that also allows white supremacists and gang members to fight our war in Iraq. But that's another story. And then also, again, it overestimates the competence of government or elites, despite the fact that there's a lot of evidence that secrets don't remain secret for long. Like, think about all of the different political, you know, like, mishaps and scandals that have come out, like, over our entire history here in the United States. like, if they can't keep something like Monica Lewinsky a secret, like, it makes you think, like, they can keep, you know what I mean? They can keep this other business secret, you know what I mean? And that's,
you know,
and that's only a few, and that's only a few people involved in that. You know what I mean? We're talking about people who believe in these massive conspiracies that involve multiple agencies with hundreds of thousands of employees. You know what I mean? And,
right.
You know, I mean, we're talking about a few people, and one person couldn't keep their mouth shut in the Monica Lewinsky situation. You know what I mean?
So to speak. So to speak.
Yes, so to speak.
Pun intended.
So, what do you guys think?
Well, there's this need to attach all this intelligent agency behind all these events, and especially that the government is completely competent, complicit in these elaborate conspiracies. I understand giving them that confidence, but it's not deserved. I mean, like you said, we've had all these things that the government is. I mean, even the cite that one, the Monica Lewinsky thing. I mean, how many people would you have to pay to keep quiet about that? Because people like to talk.
Right.
It's just not going to happen. And of course, you know, the more people that would be involved in it, the more likely it's going to be found out for what it is.
Right.
Right. But the thing is, in situations like that, people, you know, lots of conspiracy theorists like to deify the government and make it just this one central agent where everyone is on the same accord, as if, you know, there aren't individuals with their own agendas, or as if people within it don't disagree on certain things. All it would take is for one person to be like, well, you know, I heard this and I don't like her, so I ain't gonna keep secret. I'm gonna go tell so and so. You know, like what would prevent, like, if you'd have to have some like really large incentive to keep, you know, like some of the bigger stuff, you know, completely under wraps. Because there's no benefit.
Right.
There's no benefit for anyone except maybe the people who planned it, but other than that,
right,
what's the benefit for, there's no benefit to keeping that information, you know, in-house.
Right. I mean, it's not to say the government still keeps secrets. I mean, some secrets are necessarily, you know, need to be kept, you know?
Right.
Like, you wouldn't want people walking around with the, you know, the nuclear, you know, arming codes, you know, just all willy-nilly, you know? Like, not everybody, no one needs access to those except for the people that need access to those, you know,
mm-hmm.
presumably top military brass and the president, you know what I mean?
Right. You don't want your next-door neighbor to have those codes and get ticked off at you that you parked in front of the home and they might launch something. You don't want that.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, I mean, it's things like that that some people don't think about. But also, you know, a lot of these conspiracy theories also are resistant to correction, and they're generally unfalsifiable. So I want to get into one more thing about conspiracy theories in general. But before we do that, I want to open up the line. So Kim, do we have anyone on hold?
Actually, let's bring Micah into the conversation here. And he is from the Detroit area. Micah, are you there?
I'm here.
Before Micah talks, I just want to say Micah is really cool. Micah helped me come up with the name to my blog. He's the one. So if you don't like the name of my blog and you think it's corny, blame Micah. That is all.
Hey, your name shouldn't sound like a geographic location, and it's catchy. What do you want me to do? I mean, so.
Well, you know, that was all a plan. Like, you know, my parents, you know, they agonized for weeks to, you know, make sure that my name somehow fit into this Illuminati.
And it's alliterative.
Plot.
I mean,
yeah, it's alliterative. They had to make the orders from the Illuminati were make it alliterative. Make sure it fits into our scheme.
I would have made fun of growing up with you, but I'm glad I didn't, and we're friends. But anyway, I woke up probably about like 20 minutes ago, started listening, and you guys were like kind of it's not a bad thing because it's a good conversation, but you got covered, like, everything that I would have commented on. But I told Raina that I was going to call anyway, so I don't really know where I would start with whatever I would talk about. But I want to say this, like, to me, a conspiracy theory, you're already defeating yourself when you say conspiracy theory, because what you're saying is you're theorizing that people are conspiring to do something. So you just cancel each other out, and both of it sounds like bullshit when you say that. But it sounds good. It's a better story than what the truth is. Because you can come up with a big, huge, elaborate story, and it sounds really interesting. And if you debunk it, your only response is, no, it didn't happen, you know. So your response is, nope, it's bullshit. That's not a story. Saying something is bullshit is not a story. It's not interesting. It's not clever. And another thing I wanted to say is, when we give the government that much credit, what we're saying is that they're perfect, that they should be perfect, because what you're saying is the assassination of President Kennedy, 9/11, and all of these things, that the government should have been able to prevent it. So what you're saying is, in our, like, 236-year history, you know, all of these things could have been prevented all the time because we have that perfect of a government. And that's ridiculous in itself, too. So I don't really get a lot of conspiracy theories, but...
I mean, some people can't chew gum. I mean, a lot of people can't chew gum and walk, but we think, like, the government can, you know, monitor all all of everything that's going on at once. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But to play the devil's advocate, the government has done a few things that have been conspiracy theory worthy that have came out, like, and that just fuels the fire for conspiracy theorists, like COINTELPRO, for example.
Right.
You know, a lot of people didn't know.
No, and we mentioned that. Yeah.
A lot of people, I know, you mentioned everything in like an hour. Oh, do you not want me to talk?
Go ahead.
Anyway, COINTELPRO. You know, you have COINTELPRO. So if there's one COINTELPRO, it's a 9/11. It had to be a 9/11. It had to be a this. It had to be a that. And just like I was talking to you before about 9/11, when I was like angry at one of these stupid Facebook pages that are supposedly like under an umbrella reason or atheists. When people really give credence to a lot of the 9/11 theories. And my simple thing is this. Call me, I don't know, whatever you want to call me. But I tend to accept what experts say if I'm not an expert in something. I think that's a reasonable approach to something. So if you think about all of the structural engineers and everything that got to do with building engineering, all over the world with no incentive to protect the United States government, how many thousands of people are those? How many tens of thousands of people are those? And if they're all expert enough to tell you, yeah, this is how a building collapses, I would tend to believe those people. I would tend to take more credence in what they say than a couple of dozen rogue engineers that say, no, it wouldn't happen like this. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you think that's the wrong approach?
Well,
no,
yes and no, I'll say yes and no. It depends, right? So even with experts, you still need to vet your experts.
Mm-hmm.
You still need to consider what evidence they present. You shouldn't just, because you don't want to trade, you know, believing in everything to believing in anything from any expert. You know what I mean? Because there are expert scientists that believe in crazy things. You know, like there's, I forget the guy's name. He's a virologist who denies HIV causes AIDS, even though there's significant evidence, 30 years worth of evidence that shows this linkage. There's even evidence between SID causing AIDS-like symptoms in chimpanzees in the wild. You know what I mean? But there are still people who, like, still he, you know, marches and on and says that, you know, these things aren't related or whatever. So again, you want to check your, you want to still check them. Check what the science says. Check what the evidence is. You know, check multiple sources. You know.
Okay. Here you go. Let me reformulate what I said. Let me tell you why.
Okay.
I think that that's not easy as you make it seem. Number one, I would take the majority of an expert's opinion.
It depends on what field you're talking about, but generally that tends to be safe because
number
because
two, within, I'm a normal
within,
person.
Within the,
I have a normal job. I don't have the time, and I don't have the resources, and I don't have the. And even not the education to just like your average American to do the research that somebody with a science degree like Raina would do. Do you get what I'm saying? I'm just giving the average person's approach. The average person's approach. The overwhelming majority of what an expert says, or what the only thing you would have to do is then break down what an expert. Is, and then that's another conversation.
Okay, hold on. No one is saying that you have to, you know, work a 40-hour week deciding who's reasonable to listen to and who's not. I'm just saying that if you have the time to invest, you should take the time to invest and see if what they're saying is true. And you don't have to, like, go into the nitty-gritty of everything, but if you have multiple sources from different, you know, from different areas, right? Like, say I wanted to know whether or not vaccines cause autism. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I could check the, you know, with the CDC. I could check with maybe, you know, the British health organization. I forget what they're called. I could check with the Netherlands. The Netherlands has a 30-year study that they have done on the subject. You know, there's all sorts of things, so you don't have to do that. I mean, just get your sources a little bit.
How is that different than what I said? You named organizations.
Can you please? I wasn't saying that you were wrong. I'm just saying just check multiple sources, Micah. You always do this to me.
Right. I don't know. Because, okay, I'm on the right track. I'm asking you. Sometimes I can be alone in how I do things or what my approach is. I'm not surrounded by a lot of people, you know, that are scientists, that are skeptics. So I'm talking to you guys. That's why I called in. That's why I wanted to have this conversation.
Can I jump in real quick?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
I think, Micah, right? I think that your approach is going to be more productive than unproductive. So I think you're on the right track.
Yeah, absolutely.
And certainly, you know, someone can be an expert in their field and be a complete lunatic. You know,
mm-hmm.
you can it's evaluate true. Their opinion.
With
you
that,
can evaluate
yeah.
their opinion. With respect to the consensus or the prevailing opinion within that field, because someone can have a PhD in economics and then talk about, you know, climate change and be completely off. Yeah, you have a PhD in economics and you know what you're talking about over there, but when you jump into another area of expertise, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. So,
exactly.
But generally, I think that you're on the right track and that your
right.
your approach is going to be far is going to be highly more effective than not. So.
Absolutely.
Good.
Yeah, yeah. I was reading this book. Maybe you haven't read it. It was called Nonsense on Stilts. It was by that guy, Massimo.
Massimo Pigliucci. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was a pretty decent book. It was like a little introduction, you know, and how like to separate like you know bullshit, you know, from you know. what we should accept as true, at least, you know, or facts or evidence and things like that. And I don't think
I need some help.
Okay, sir. I'll talk to you later. anyway, that was my son. Sorry.
It's okay.
But no, it's what was I saying? Lost my train of thought. Oh no, I was saying I don't think black people are anywhere close to even doing or talking about what we're talking about. And I think that's that's for a wide array of reasons. Why do you guys think so?
Well, you're getting into the next part of my notes, Micah. You are forever getting ahead of me.
Hang up.
Forever getting ahead of me. No, that's the next thing that I was going to talk about, because if you really look into these conspiracy theories and why people believe them, what you'll really find out is that for the majority of them, the people are kind of suffering from a crippled epistemology. So it's just about the lack of information that, or the ability to vet information that they come across. You know, we have in this country, you know, a broken school system. You know, let's just face it. And particularly for minorities, because minorities tend to believe these things a lot more than the general population. There's actually a study, and I can post the name of the study on the RSS feed wall and the Black Freethinkers wall. It's called Belief in U.S. Government Conspiracies Against Blacks Among White and Black College Students, Powerlessness or System Blame. And what they find is that even for educated black people, they tend to believe more in government conspiracy theories against blacks than their white counterparts. And it has to do a lot with obviously cultural reasons, cultural factors, but obviously the education that they're receiving to a degree. Mm-hmm. And the sort of the critical what they're exposed to early on.
Can I get an example? Of what would be considered a conspiracy theory against blacks?
I got one.
Well,
I mean,
Rev used the one about HIV being created to destroy black people.
Oh, okay. Okay, something just completely batshit. Okay, because I don't want to put everything under the realm of conspiracy theory when it comes
No, we're not trying to do that either.
No, and I didn't think you were. You know, I just wanted to be clear of my understanding of what you're saying, you know, because, you know, there are disenfranchised people based on race and other factors. Yeah.
I'll give you another one before we have to hang up, because we got more to talk about.
Go ahead.
We got
to
get into
the
Illuminati stuff. Kool-Aid and sterilization. That's one that I just recently came across. Don't ask me where it comes from. Don't ask me who originated it. I can't give it to you.
Wait a minute. Kool-Aid and sterilization? Kool-Aid.
Yes, Kool-Aid. Yeah.
All
right. I mean, it makes no sense, right? Because how in the world would you see teenage girls walking around with three or four children, you know what I mean, talking about Kool-Aid making us sterile? Well, who's having them?
Oh, wow.
Wow.
You know
who's
I mean?
Having these issues for Kool-Aid?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
I've heard about the sterilization.
Well, Micah, thank you for joining us. We got
to
go.
All right, have fun. I see you wanted to bring up something so crazy that I would hang up. So
we'll have to talk about it another time, Micah. Thanks a lot.
Talk to you later. Have a good one. Thanks, guys.
All right. Bye.
Yeah, that Kool-Aid and sterilization one caught me by surprise, too.
Yeah, it caught me by the surprise the first time I heard it. It was crazy. I heard it just this week.
But in any case, funny. But we have another caller on the line, actually.
Okay, cool.
And we have a caller from Virginia. Are you there?
Yes. Hello.
May we ask who's calling?
Yes, this is ABC. I'm in the chat room. I've been chiming in and basically disagreeing with everything that one lady's talking about.
That will be Raina.
Lady. I'm the host.
Yeah, you know, I didn't know who was who. I didn't know who was who, so. You know, and let me just say, my only point is that I just think you're so, so narrow-minded. And let's just stick with one, you know, and you can talk about any of them, but 911, the one guy just talked about it. Now, you have, I dropped a link in there, it's like 1,500 architects and engineers who say that that official narrative is false.
Okay, first off, that list has not been verified. No one verified that those people have degrees. No one verified that they're practicing in their field. None of them has been vetted to see if they even appear in any academic literature. So those names could be anybody. And this list has been going around for a really long time, and it's not sufficient as evidence. Sorry.
Okay.
It's not.
Okay, so it's been around for a really long time. Why haven't you guys invalidated it?
We're the ones asking for verification of the claim. It's not our job to invalidate anything. If they're making the claim, they're making the positive assertion that this building or whatever their claims are didn't happen this way, and that they have some theory that isn't the consensus. They have a different view that they think is true. It is up to them to present that. It is not our job to disconfirm or to invalidate anything. The burden of proof is on the person that's making the claim. That's their job, not ours.
Yeah,
right.
The burden of proof, because the burden of proof is like you said, is on them. Because you can't prove a negative. Like, if you tell me that you have in your pocket a purple elephant, I can't disprove that you have a purple elephant in your pocket. You can either produce the elephant in your pocket or you can't.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And
I want to make a quick point, because he said something about being narrow-minded. And this is something else that is used by some conspiracy theorists. That if you don't accept their theory, if you demand evidence for it, you're narrow-minded means you're not open-minded. Well, open-mindedness is just the ability to accept or deal with new ideas. It doesn't mean that you just uncritically accept what people tell you. No, you still need to have skeptical inquiry. You still need to demand evidence. You still need to evaluate evidence. You don't just take stuff at face value. And I don't care how many, 1,500 architects? Produce a model. Produce a solid explanation that explains the facts, not just what fits the ignorance.
Right. I mean, and then it's also 1,500 architects. Okay, do you know how many architects are in the world? Do we know where these architects got their degree from? I mean, they could be 1,500 architects from Podunk School of Nowhere, you know, a degree.
Pretty much.
You know what I mean?
We
don't know anything about them. We don't know anything about their credentials. Maybe every single one of those 1,500 architects is broke, and every single one of their buildings that they've ever designed has fallen apart and killed people.
Right.
You know what I mean? So we don't know.
You have to validate their credentials to know that they're, you know, they're not BS. Because in this age of information, you can be anything on the internet, and it's not hard to, you know, Photoshop a document and say, "Hey, look, I got my degree from blah blah blah." You know, you have any verification to make sure you are someone legit,
right?
Not just some bum on the internet.
Right. So we're gonna move right along. I'm sorry, Kim.
Okay. Now I was gonna say, we have Mario on the line. Mario, our guy from Mario and the Nakomi Show. Hey, Mario.
Hey, how you doing?
What's going on?
Nothing much. I just want to chime in right quick, because I get into the 9/11, Illuminati and all that discussion, and one thing that I know that a lot of people forget is that the more people that you have involved in a conspiracy, the less likely it's able to be kept a secret. When you got a massive operation like this, let's say that 9/11 is an inside job, how many pilots do you need? How many people, how many construction workers planting explosives do you need? How many people on the inside with the in the military do you need? How many, you think of all the people you either got to intimidate or pay off or have to be complicit in your plan for this to work out? I mean, if you sit in one plane, one building, 10 dudes, that's one thing. We're talking about four playing several areas over several states and in different times. That's a lot of people to take care of to prevent anyone from saying anything later on. Keep in mind, 50 years from now, if I got a terminal disease, I could decide to spill my guts if I want to. What are they going to do to me? I'm already going to die. So if you're going to say, if you have this, if you're going to believe that it's an inside job, then you have to have proof of that. Otherwise, you're just pretty much just throwing stuff out there in the wind, which really makes no difference because you can't prove it either way it go. And even if you could, what would you do with it? Do you really think that you would, if such a conspiracy were possible, do you really think that you would be allowed to tell anybody anything about it?
Exactly.
And the fact that you have any information about this at all pretty much invalidates the conspiracy in the first place. Because if you know this, then somebody knows a lot more than you, and they're not saying anything.
Hello? Oh, sorry. I thought my phone had gone. I thought my phone did something.
No.
Sorry about that, guys.
No.
Okay. So, in any case, we are going to move on to getting into the actual conspiracy theories. I see that we have a caller who's hot with us. He was happy. Wasn't too happy with what we said. It's okay. You can call back in if you want. We can talk more, but we got more show to cover. So next we want to get into. We'll have to get into how these theories arise. Maybe on Kim's show tomorrow, Kim. Hopefully you'll give us time, right, Kim? Maybe.
Yes, definitely. We will explore many of these things, and it should prove to be a very interesting show.
Okay. And that show, again, is Sunday at 12 o'clock Central Standard Time, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 o'clock Pacific, right?
That's correct. That's every Sunday at 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, high noon Central Standard Time, 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Thank you.
Okay, so, again, I'm going to go ahead and encourage whoever is listening or in the chat room, since there seems to be some issues, to go ahead and call in, but give us a few minutes to talk about the topic. The call-in number, again, is 310-982-4273. So next thing we're going to talk about is the Illuminati. So the Illuminati is traced back to the 1590s. The word, anyway, is traced back to the 1590s, and it was applied to a Spanish sect of in the 16th century. Later, it was in Bavaria. It was established by Adam, and I'm not pronouncing the last name. Weishaupt, maybe? I think it's Weishaupt. I'm going to go with that. Mr. Weishaupt, and four other people during the Age of Enlightenment. And that was our era, Kim. That was our era. That's when free thought emerged and humanism and all that good stuff. So that's our era. I mean, well, not quite our era because we still were, not human beings yet. But, you know.
We were being dropped in oil and drawn in quarters and all of that fun stuff. You know, it was the carnival coming directly to you, right?
Right. but the ideas survived because they're good ideas. But in any case, this was a fraternal order of freethinkers. And they had a lot of ideas that were generally not accepted. They had a political identity that was Republican. It was stood for the abolition of monarchies. And they tried to institute by means of subterfuge and secrecy and conspiracy, including the infiltration of other organizations. And they actually had very little success, and they were destroyed within 15 years of their origin. by Bavarian ruler Karl Theodor, who banned basically all secret societies and dismantled the Bavarian Illuminati on March 2nd, 1785. And this is because he viewed them as a direct threat to his power, because obviously they didn't like monarchies. they also were seen as a threat to the status quo because they their ideas ran counter to the established Catholic doctrine at that time. After they were disbanded, it says that they were sort of absorbed into other groups. And then later there was a guy by the name of Myron Fagan who basically instigated the Illuminati conspiracy when he wrote a play called Red Rainbow, and then he basically claimed to have documents about a communist plot to take over America, and that's kind of where the conspiracy seeds, sort of took root and sprouted. And, because there's already fear of a commie, the commie scare. It was around the time of the McCarthy era. So this is when you really get more of the Illuminati conspiracies coming out. What's funny about this is that Fagan was actually Jewish, and most of the Illuminati conspiracies are very, very anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
But that's the main story for the Illuminati. Like, did you guys come across anything that you guys want to share?
Well, I was shocked that it actually existed in some form or another prior to the conspiracy notion, so that was really surprising for me in my research when I found that. Because I'd always made fun of it as just being a bunch of lunatics making stuff up, but it actually did exist in some form or fashion. So,
Right. What about you, Marcus?
Can you repeat the question? I got sidetracked by another combo.
It's okay. I was saying, is there anything else that you kind of found out about the Illuminati in your research that you wanted to share?
No, you pretty much got it covered as far as I've heard. I didn't really find anything you didn't touch on.
Okay. And so it was kind of like this whole scare of, the Illuminati taking over the government that kind of ran into the NWO conspiracy. Now, I wasn't exactly able to, determine the exact, date that this, all started, because it kind of existed before they had the word to put it out there. But the New World Order isn't like the Illuminati. It's not a fraternity. It's basically an idea, which is that they're going to take over the government and that, that these Illuminati cabals still exist. And if they're going to take over the government, and they're going to establish a one-world government where all of us are basically serfs. Okay? Where most of us are serfs, and we serve the wealthy elites. And the actors in the NWO range substantially. They range substantially. It's hilarious. So, of course, there's the 13 families. The Astors, the DuPonts, the Kennedys, the Onassis, the Rockefeller family, the Rothschild family, the Russell family, the Van Dunn family, and the Krupp family. Of course, the Rothschild family is in there, obviously, because Jewish people are evil, and they have nothing in mind but the destruction of humanity. And, right? I mean, obviously. No, but seriously, a lot of rumors and conspiracy theories abound about the Rothschild family in particular, and a number of them are false. But there are also other actors that are included are the Illuminati reptilians, depending upon who you ask, I guess. And there's aliens. There's aliens, and then there's the Bilderberg Group, the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations. So basically, there's all of these groups, and they have all of these individuals in them, and none of them have their own individual agendas. They all have one agenda to reduce the population to under 500 million. I don't know who came up with that number, right? And to make us all serfs. So what do you guys think about that?
That's hilarious. Number one, how would you even reduce the number from, was it like over 7 billion now to that number? Well, I guess if they put fluoride in the water, you know, I guess they'll go ahead and do that already. Go ahead and whack us that way. But
all they're going to do is make you have stronger teeth. That's it.
So they're going to put dentists out of work, basically.
I mean, the only reason is, actually the dentist won't go out of work because they'll have to whiten your teeth because your teeth will be brown from the fluoride, but they'll be really, really strong.
Exactly. So, I was first introduced to all of this information through Tony Brown. I read one of his books, and it was talking about the Bilderbergs, the Rothschild, Trilateral Commission. I was so paranoid. Everything that happened, I mean, you know, if I slipped down a flight of stairs, you know, some invisible ninja kicked me down the stairs because I knew too much. It was just crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, and the other thing about it is what doesn't make sense is most of the conspiracies focus on depopulation. And, of course, we have a population of over 7 billion now. And they say that this conspiracy theory has been in the works for several centuries, right? So how has it been in the works for several centuries, but you waited until we're in the information age to take us back to being serfs? Why didn't you just keep us serfs in the first place? You know what I mean? That doesn't make any sense.
I think the idea is in gradualism, because apparently they're thinking, well, it's going to happen because, you know, some penultimate event is supposed to happen, and you keep waiting for the event, and then when some event occurs, you're like, no, it's something else. Like, well, when you get to the event that's supposed to kick this whole thing off, it's never that.
It never happens. It never materializes.
Right, it's the BS fallacy, the infinite BS, because it doesn't matter what happens, they'll give you something else. Wait for it.
Yeah, they call that one, that specific one fallacy, the moving the goalpost.
That's it.
Yep.
That's it.
That's the one. Yeah.
My favorite term.
But it just doesn't make any sense. Like, why wait all of these centuries? What the hell are you waiting for? You're supposed to be the powerful elite. You're just supposed to be the ones that have access to the military weapons and all these other things. Why wait until the population's at 7 billion to decide to cut back? That's stupid.
Yeah, it's kind of like, we were talking about that earlier. Like, why didn't they do it when the population was infinitely less? There were less people. And people weren't having families at such a rapid rate these days.
Right.
Why wait?
And then,
we have all these advances that are making humans live longer than they did even 50 years ago. You know, why are you waiting till now? So we have all of these advances in our medicine and in science to help us live longer. So just all right, we're trying to cut them back now. Let's decrease all of this. That doesn't make sense.
Right.
There's no benefit. It doesn't make sense.
Right. You wait until everything spins out of control. But the other thing is you know how they rationalize that, because just like we were saying, when they move the goalposts, because Alex Jones, he likes to say that they want to engage in soft kill. So soft kill is basically his way of saying that anything that has any sort of negative health impact is the way that they try to reduce the population. But it's so ridiculous. Like, they're saying, like, okay, so they're trying to reduce our population with cancer. People are living longer with cancer than they did 50 years ago.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can actually, like, look at freaking Lance Armstrong. He's had cancer twice. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, there are people who are living with cancer, who live with cancer, you know, through multiple bouts of cancer, and they're still alive and kicking. And people are living longer, and they're eating more, and they're doing all of these things. I mean, it doesn't make any sense that this whole idea of soft kill.
I mean, even if you change and use something like HIV or AIDS, people who are living, still living fuller, longer lives than they did 20 years ago when you know, is essentially a death sentence for suffering with some people. You know, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it makes absolutely no sense. I mean, and I mean there are somewhat I guess kernels of truth to the whole NWO conspiracy, I guess, in terms of the banking industry. Now, you know, there's a lot of greed in the banking industry, and there's been a lot of deregulation, and a lot of people have actually benefited from that. What do you guys think?
I mean, hell,
I think
you
that's
find
the only that's the only little kernel of truth that I can find to this. I'm trying to salvage this somehow.
Hell, I mean, you can find greed and corruption in that in just about any industry. I mean,
exactly.
it does give them fodder for, you know, for the claims that they want to make, but it doesn't mean that their theory is grounded in any kind of
right.
It's just okay. This occurs everywhere, so you still need to prove it.
Right, and if you go into the mindset of a lot of those businessmen, you know, if let's say they rake in collectively $44 billion, now you think they want to rake it in and share or rake it in and keep it for themselves? They're trying to outdo all these people. You know, a lot of these people are trying to outdo the people that people think are they're collaborating with. Like, you're not from, you know, the head of PNC and the head of, like, American Express are not getting together trying to, you know, collectively steal from you. No, one's trying to outdo the other.
They might support the same legislation that lets them get away with murder, but they're not saying, hey, you know, I hope you make a killing this quarter. No, I hope your company takes a dive.
Yeah,
I really do.
I hope you fail.
Yeah.
You know, they're not a unified front trying to steal from people. No.
Yeah. So. Do we have any callers, Kim?
Yeah. Actually, at the time, no. We were trying to encourage one of the chat room people to call in. Since he's so discouraged by the conversation that's going by, we encouraged him to call back in, but he won't call back.
Well, caller, please. Is he still there, or did he leave, or is he still in the chat
room? I think
he
hung up.
Yeah, he hung up.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you know, and of course, you know, we have the Bilderberg group, right? So a lot of people like to talk about the Bilderberg group, and you know, I read up on the Bilderberg group, and it's interesting. You know, they do have quite a lot of powerful people who come to the Bilderberg group meetings, but and of course, their meetings are private. But I mean, what do you guys think? Do you think that people who are in powerful positions, who, say, run Fortune 500 companies or even work in different levels of government, do you think that they're allowed to freely associate with whoever they choose?
No.
Okay, you know.
It would hurt if it's, let's say you're the, I think on that list that I saw, you know, the CEO of Xerox at the time, attended one of these Bilderberg meetings. You can't just, you're the CEO, you're the face of the company, so you can't associate with everyone because it would hurt the brand, depending on what the association is and
well, that's
you know,
why
what
the need
doing.
For privacy.
Yeah, yeah. You have to think about branding,
I mean,
and how that's gonna be played.
I understand outwardly. That. I understand. I mean, from a shareholder's position, but I mean from a sort of legal, you know, societal standpoint, you know, because we have the Constitution and we have rights, and do people who are in powerful positions abdicate their rights by being powerful? Are they not allowed to, say, go and, you know, have a weekend where they, you know, shoot the breeze with, you know, a foreign prime minister from Russia?
I'm not entirely clear on what you're asking.
I mean, I'm just asking.
I think what she means is, you know, would it be okay if they just wanted to go, you know, just hang out someday? You know, it's not like a formal meeting where, you know, they're in a room somewhere discussing business. Like, they're just
even if they did want to have a formal meeting, are they not allowed? Are they not? Do they not have the right to go and?
I mean, I think that they can do that. I don't think that violates anything. No, I think that would be fine. I mean, I mean, from the outside looking in, it may look, if you're looking for a reason to be skeptical of them doing it, or not skeptical but cynical about it, you're thinking that, oh, there's something nefarious going on with them doing this, even if it's just them getting away, or
right.
just meeting with like-minded people just to discuss, you know, things that happen in their industry, or they share the same interests, you know, and that's just it. It's nothing. There's nothing more to read into it than just that. Could be
right,
that.
and that's what I was trying to get at was, you know, the meetings that people have, you know, whether we like the looks of it, whether, you know, we think they might be talking about something that we don't like, are irrelevant. The fact of the matter is that as citizens, as American citizens, they have the right to associate with whomever they choose. And the Bilderberg meetings are not secret; they're private. I guess there's a little bit of a sort of shaky distinction, I think, a little bit on their part. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, these people, they want to go to these meetings primarily because they're able to, you know, share opinions, kind of have a round table where they can, you know, shoot ideas at each other and not be misquoted by the media. You know, like, you know, maybe you want to think out loud about something, but you haven't thought it out completely, but you want other opinions on it. You've mm-hmm. got, you know, you've got economists, you've got scientists, you've got whoever, and they can kind of give you some feedback on where you're coming from. That sounds like a perfectly reasonable thing to do, and it seems, and that actually is the stated sort of mission of the Bilderberg Group. It was formed initially to kind of stem the tide of anti-Americanism in Europe, and they've continued it on, and it meets somewhat irregularly. Sometimes it'll meet twice a year. Sometimes it'll meet, you know, just once a year. But obviously they've had powerful heads of state. They've had Barack Obama went there before he became president. Bill Clinton was invited when he was still governor of Arkansas. Hillary Clinton's been, other people have been. And there's a lot of speculation, and I say speculation because it is speculation, regarding the purpose or the sort of talks that go on at these meetings. People have said that they're talking about depopulating the world. They're talking about spreading HIV. They're talking about killing people with vaccines, which is not really possible, but because otherwise it's not a vaccine. You know what I mean? Like, what are we vaccinating against life? Like, I mean, like, but the problem is that none of these people present credible evidence. I was even watching a video of Jesse Ventura's conspiracy theory. That show is so ridiculous. They just move from one speculation to another speculation with no sound evidence. They'll talk to someone and they'll be like, "Yeah, I'm a former member of the Illuminati." It's like, word. You're a member of the what?
Right, and they never ask if that person took their meds that day. You know, that's another story.
But not just that, Kim. How the hell are you the former member of the Illuminati when everyone everyone asserts that the Illuminati kill people who try to reveal their plans or speak out against them, but yet you're just walking around former Illuminati. How's that work? You know what I mean? Doesn't make any sense.
Well, actually, you know, someone was really smart, and this is what I would do. If I didn't have any morals or ethics, I would start a religion called the Illuminati.
Okay.
I would just
have you been in my head?
Hmm?
I said, have you been in my head? Because I've thought about that.
Just start a religion, some type of ideology, you know, some variation of Illuminati, the Illuminous Ones, or something to that effect. And you would have people joining like hotcakes, just because they want to know what these inside secrets are, but you can get them to sign all kind of contracts and
dedicate a portion of their salaries, you know, a little bit beyond tithing and offering. You can take it even beyond that, because it's just interesting because, again, people want to believe in something. People want to believe that there is more to life than what they're experiencing. You know, there has to be a reason behind some of the atrocities that we're dealing with. There has to be a reason behind, you know, some of the poverty that these people are experiencing. There has to be a reason behind just, you know, the malcontent. And so they come up with these different reasonings. They get to connecting the dots that are not there, you know, by the own machinations of their minds. And it's just, it's interesting. And when you try to talk them down, I mean, these people know this stuff like the back of their hand. But yet you ask them something, you know, about rudimentary science or math, and they have no clue. And
right.
With some of these organizations that they're talking about, you know, it's all math and science. I mean, if you're talking about 360 degrees, that's what's contained within a circle. But, I mean, anyway, but that's another story. I don't want anybody sending me any crazy-ass emails because why are you talking about the circle?
It's hilarious. Okay, once again, guys, the number to call in is 310-982. Okay, Marcus? Okay, thank you. 310-982-4273. That's the number you got to call if you want to talk to us. Call in and you know, I mean, show us your evidence if you believe in these things. Ask questions. You know, we're not here to tell you that you're crazy or that, you know, you need to, you know, get some medication for, you know, for if you believe in these things. We're just telling you, you know, there might be some things you haven't considered. There may be some things that you might want to, you know, look into, maybe revise in your thinking. That's all.
Exactly. And, you know, and again, you know, piggybacking off of what you just said there, again, in some cases, some of these theories have been proven to be true. They've listed, you know, a lot of people didn't believe in Iran-Contra and, you know, the Tuskegee experiment. A lot of people didn't believe in any of those, and they turned out to be true. And we're not necessarily, you know, it's not our job, again, as, you know, it was stated earlier, it's not our job to disprove it. It's your job to prove it. But, you know, in every essence of the word, we don't want you to think that, you know, we're mocking you or ridiculing you or making fun of you. We actually want discourse. So we encourage you guys to call in.
Yeah. Reasonable discourse, because these are guests. These are guests. I'm treating this like my house. Using my guests. Okay? So, you know, I'm disrespecting my guests in my house. That's all I ask.
There you go.
Just send it out.
I think we have Nakomi on the line.
Hey, Nakomi, what's going on?
Hi.
Hello.
I just want to ask really quick about the entertainment industry and the Illuminati and how that came about to be so popular and if there's any validity to that.
All right, Brooks, you're on. Where's Brooks? Did he drop off, Tim?
Oh, sorry, I'm muted. Sorry, I was talking to a coworker. My bad. Would you ask me?
She was asking about the entertainment industry and the Illuminati, and you missed your cue. Like, you just messed everything up. Seriously.
Sorry. That's sorry. Hilarious. I didn't mean to miss the alley oop. My bad.
That's okay.
When it comes to the entertainment industry, there's like 8 million. There's 8 million ways you can really go about it, because there's like 8 million theories about different things. Like if you talk about music specifically, you have things like, you know, backmasking, where you have, you know, demon messages and crap that's just, you know, apparently here when you play songs backwards. You have things like, you know, people allegedly making blood sacrifices. People like Damon Dash allegedly, you know, using Aaliyah as a blood sacrifice. You know, Puffy using Biggie back in 97. Suge Knight using Tupac, etc. And all these people making alleged blood sacrifices to, you know, for their wealth and fame. I mean, I don't find any. I mean, when I was a teenager and I was really susceptible to all these things, you know, it all kind of it sort of made sense at the time because it was like, you know, why don't I hear these guys talking about, you know, government stuff? All I'm hearing is club rap and all of this stuff. And I don't know, I don't find any of it to be true, but there's, like I said, there's different ways to go about it. Like, there was even a couple weeks ago a letter that was circulating around the internet from someone who claimed that he was there at a secret meeting that took place in, like, I want to say circa 91, 92 in L.A., where a bunch of record execs got together and basically said, okay, we're gonna control people through rap music, and this is how we're going to do it. And they basically, there's some guy who, like, he said something along the lines of they were going to have rappers go out and dressing like this and doing this and getting people to do the same thing, and the women are gonna, you know, do the same thing. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, Ill Doctrine, the YouTuber, has a really great dunking of that.
His video If anyone hasn't gone and looked at his YouTube series on, you know, not just conspiracy theories, but on a variety of topics, definitely go check him out because he's worth watching.
What's the name again? I'm sorry, I didn't catch the name.
His name is Ill Doctrine.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Thank you.
He's a good guy. Yeah. But Illuminati and music. I mean, just think about it. Like, I just posted on the RSS feed wall. There was somebody had twittered that Blue Ivy had something to do with the Illuminati. The name.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think I have it here. Hold on. It was. Ivy stands for Illuminati's very youngest, and blue stands for born living under
living
evil.
Living under evil. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I think I've seen that,
yeah.
too.
Someone tweeted that.
Yeah, the reason people were even speculating on that to begin with is because there have already been large speculation about Jay-Z, for example, being a high-profile member of the Illuminati, which I did a YouTube series, which is on my YouTube channel. It's 10 parts, basically debunking the whole Jay-Z Illuminati myth. Because where it basically comes from is there's this idea because Jay-Z makes plenty of references in plenty of his songs, saying things like, I never prayed to God, I prayed to Gotti, for example, or the controversy in the song Empire State of Mind from a couple years ago, or from last year, to which he said, and Jesus can't save you. Life starts when the church ends. And, you know, the Christian right pretty much exploded, and, like, everybody and their mom, you know, had something to say about Jay-Z. About Jay-Z's lines because like I said, they line up with a long list of lyrics where Jay-Z himself, you know, doesn't really talk favorably about Christianity or about religion in general. And it starts on his debut album. He has a song called The Evils, or Devils, with an apostrophe, The Evils, in which in the hook of the song, DJ Premier cuts up a sample from a Mobb Deep song, to which says, "Dear God, I wonder, can you save me? Illuminati want my mind, soul, and my body. Dear God, I wonder, can you save me? Secret society trying to keep their eye on me." Now, even though the song itself doesn't even reference the Illuminati, or doesn't even reference higher powers, because he himself was talking about his being a kingpin in the drug game in the 80s and early 90s, people took that and ran with it because it said Illuminati.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, over the years, you know, throwing up the rock sign and, you know, and all this stuff, people have taken his lyrics and what he's done to heart and think that he's seriously just trying to take jabs at Christianity and take jabs at bringing down the church because, you know, that's what the Illuminati does.
Is Kanye West also subjected to the same kind of the same kind of stuff? Okay.
Yeah, as of late, because his video, the video for his song Power, Kanye had a video for his song Power, which used a lot of, the video was basically like a minute and a half, and it was like a what they call a moving picture, to which there was a lot of religious imagery in it, a lot of angels and demons, and, you know, it seemed to be like, the video seemed to depict a fight between the angels in heaven and the demons in hell. And a lot of people, you know, a lot of people saw that and was like, oh, Kanye's talking about the impending, you know, war between good and evil that's going to take place on Judgment Day. Or there was even a line, there's a line, I think, in either in that song or in one of his other songs where he says something where it's along the lines of he sold his soul for something. And, you know, people were like, see, Kanye admitted himself that, you know, he, you know, sold his soul for his fame.
So,
or whatever.
Your perspective is more of a marketing tool that you think that they just play into because they know people have a desire to believe and all kinds of stuff, especially if they're influenced by these rappers and they think they're onto something. And saying some of those type of lyrics can make one and think where they're coming from, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's exactly what they think.
Yeah, I think nowadays, yes. I would say part of it is them doing that, and I think part of it is them just really wanting a kick-ass cool video to get people talking. Because that's the one thing, you know, Jay-Z himself has said, you know, that he's not only, you know, that he's not only a rapper, but he's a businessman. So clearly, the one thing he wants to do is to make sure his name, you know, stays out in people's mouths, even when he hasn't put music out or, you know, something along those lines. So I personally think part of it is, you know, them trying to, you know, is them trying to kind of play into it a little bit. His video for On to the Next One, you know, had a lot of the same imagery from the Kanye West video, you know, dancing angels, a lot of black and white. There's a shot of a Baphomet head. There's a shot of a Baphomet in one of the frames. But again, I just kind of took it as, you know, Jay-Z just kind of playing off the whole thing because, you know, he did an interview with Angie Martinez, and it was just like, yeah, I don't believe in an Illuminati, or if there is one, then nobody black is in it.
Right.
So it wouldn't make sense.
But here, I guess maybe towards the end of the show, this is my main issue with the Illuminati conspiracies, right? You know, if you believe all of this stuff that's out here, if you believe that, you know, somehow we have a secret society that you can find out everything about with very, very little effort on your part. Okay, Marcus, you can have mute. Sorry. If you believe that you can find out all of this information about this secret society with very little effort on your part, what makes you think that you need to be scared of them? What makes you think that they're worth paying attention to? They have all these secret plans that they lay out right for you to see. Because according to the conspiracy theorists, you can see all their plans in the movies, in commercials, and, you know, in music and all of these things. I mean, it's like Dr. Evil telling, you know, Austin Powers his entire plan, you know?
Right.
Symbols too. You got symbols all over the place, and every symbol is like this. They're overtly showing you, you know, what they're going to do, and you can't see the signs. It's right there in front of you. You know, that kind of alarmist rhetoric, and it's like, it's just a symbol. It doesn't mean anything more than what you've assigned to it. It just happens to be this symbol you think confirms your conspiracy theory, and it doesn't.
I guess my question to that is, let's just say hypothetically, you know, we're seeing all of these symbols, and these symbols mean something. The question to
the people who generally believe this is, if we're seeing all of these symbols and this happens to be true, then what are you going to do about it? How are you going to prove it? How are we going to stop it? I mean, if you're seeing all of these symbols, I mean, to me it's just increasing and inducing more paranoia because you're seeing it here, you're seeing it there, you're seeing it all over the place. But what are you going to do about it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's another question.
Well, my
first question is, what are they going to do? I mean, they told you everything they're going to do. Like, you know what I mean?
I think the conspiracy theorist is more than likely going to say that, hey, look, I don't necessarily have to do anything else. My job is done just by pointing it out to you, which is generally the point. You know, I'm at least alerting you to what's going on. I don't have any information I'm not going to propose any action to do anything else about trying to get rid of these symbols. I'm just letting you know that they exist.
You need to
do something about it.
Right,
I mean, because if there's really a plot to make us all serfs, I mean, well, I mean, where do I sign up for the resistance team? Because I don't want to be anybody's serf. I did not go to college. I do not have student loan debt. Okay, to be somebody's serf. Okay,
right.
That's not going down. Okay, so what did I go to school for? Yeah.
Exactly. 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 And, you know, when you get to looking at all of these different things, it just starts to make you think. And it's like, you know, is there any validity to anything that we've been taught? You know, it makes you question everything, you know, any part of the news, you know, is it real or is it all propaganda? Anything that you've been taught, is it real? Is it propaganda? You know, are we living in reality or are we stuck inside of the matrix somewhere? What is really happening?
Hey.
This is why you have so many people.
Red pill or blue pill?
Mm-hmm. I used to love that movie.
I used to love that movie too, but conspiracy theorists have ruined that
movie. Ruined
it.
Mm-hmm.
They've ruined it. It's done. I can't watch it. I got nothing. Then I get no enjoyment of watching The Matrix anymore because I'm just sitting there the whole time uncomfortable because I'm remembering the last conversation that I had with the last crazy person who decided that this was a documentary.
Wow.
I get it. There's some allegory. There's, you know, you can go back to Plato's The Cave. Yeah, there's some allegory that you can kind of carry over and say, you know, is this really what I think it is? And let me peek behind the curtain. You know what I mean? But, you know, you got to do a lot more than just go on the Prison Planet and InfoWars, you know? Just because somebody is unconventional, they don't go with the mainstream, doesn't mean that you go with them. That doesn't mean that they're right. You got to do a little bit more digging. You got to do some more searching. You have to, you know, compare your sources and really find out what they're talking about. Because then maybe you would find out that David Icke is a crazy dude. He's crazy. He thinks that he's the son of God. He said that once. He said he's the son of the Godhead. He thinks he gets messages from interdimensional beings. Okay? Alex Jones. I mean, and that's not to say that, you know, he couldn't come across any, like, he can't say anything that's true. That's not to say that. I'm just saying that if somebody is telling you that they have knowledge, revealed knowledge, you need to be skeptical. Because how did this get revealed to you? How do you know this? What was your process for verifying this information that you say, you know, interdimensional beings have, you know, imbued you with, you know what I mean? How did you verify this information? You know, what distinguishes it from pure fantasy? You have to ask these questions. You know?
Right.
I'm not telling you to say that if, you know, David Icke tells you the sky is blue, that you gotta say, oh, no, it's not. I'm just saying you need to look into it. Just like Alex Jones. Alex Jones for all of his talk about the Illuminati and one world government and all of these things, Alex Jones was rejected. He was rejected as a politician. He's a failed politician. He's bitter at the system because it rejected him. This man who rails against the government for being involved in all of these Illuminati conspiracy theories just several years ago wanted to be in on the game. Couldn't get in on the game, so what is he doing now?
He rails against the machine.
Right. So
yeah,
I'm not saying that Alex Jones has never said anything that's true. I'm sure within, you know, the 10-plus years that he's been on the scene that Alex Jones has said things that are unquestionably true. I'm sure he has. Because even a broke clock is right twice a day.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? But that doesn't mean that you should take what he says as gospel. So I open the floor. Sorry.
I wanted to make a quick comment about, asking questions. We also need to, I think the type of question or the formulation of the question matters too, because if you ask how does something function or how does it work, that's a better question than something like, when did you stop beating your wife?
Right.
That question is clearly loaded. It's got a sneaking in an assumption or a claim that has no basis, so.
Right.
Also look out for questions that have spurious claims within the question, because some people try to hide behind, I'm just asking questions, when you're making spurious claims and really, really bad, you have a lot of bad thinking and irrationality within the question itself. So you want to ask good questions.
Yes, absolutely.
And questions that get you to the, and you go where the evidence takes you, not where you want to necessarily go.
Right. Don't engage in confirmation bias.
If you
do research and your research leads you to a conclusion that is different from the belief that you previously held, then you need to change your belief. You need to adjust. You should adjust your views according to where the evidence takes you. That's the only way to be truly open minded.
There you go. And we have another caller on the line. We have someone from 301. Are you there? May we ask who's calling 301?
This is Lucien.
Hi, Lucien.
Hey, Vanna.
Hi. Hey, what's going on, Lucien?
Nothing much. I saw your link on Facebook, and I was like, I had to listen to this because it was just like, I love conversations like this, and I'm just glad to hear that you guys are out there, putting out good ideas and just trying to debunk all the stupidness that goes around. And I mean, I want to say like two things. I kind of think that the reason why people are so easily swayed by these people on the soapbox is because everybody, the vast majority of Americans are so-called Christians, and they always look to some kind of prophet of some sort to give them the good news. So I mean, as long as people are clinging to that prophet person to give them the good news, then, we can do our best, but it's going to be there no matter what, And
absolutely.
I kind of think that, we have to get away from the prophets and individually, seek answers ourselves, not relying on somebody else's word, because somebody else's word is what led, Germany into World War II and murdering how many million Jews because somebody said it was a Jew's fault, So, I mean, it's like, you have to get away from prophets,
Right. It's easier to be the protagonist in the film of your life, right, when you have a clear enemy,
right?
Than if you have an uncertain world. And that's what we live in. We live in an uncertain world that's full of a lot of different variables, and they interact in ways that sometimes we can't predict and in ways that we don't expect them to. And sometimes there really are, agents of evil. There sometimes are, But the fact of the matter is that we have to be circumspect. We have to, make sure that we're not fooling ourselves. We're not engaging in self-deception,
Most definitely. And I mean, I also kind of think it's a fair thing as well, too. It, even with current media right now, they always build that fear aspect. And so long as, people are fearful of these things in the world, then it's going to be like, it's the boogeyman under your bed, and, you know, you have to keep the lights on and keep the boogeyman away. I mean, you have to get away from all those, you know, folklore and step into the light and face, you know, these things that are I guess, the conspiracy theories of the world, you know. I mean, it's to me, I mean, it's clear-cut to us people who have reasoning, you know, abilities, but to the vast majority of other people who are some not as educated as us and, you know, cling to that, it's just like, it's the absolute truth. And I also want to say that, I mean, I don't know what it is about, you know, African Americans, but I mean, it's rampant within our community that you know, we just buy into this stuff wholeheartedly. I mean, it's sickening almost, honestly. It's just absolutely sickening to the level at to which this goes, and it's a sad state, sad situation.
Well, thanks for calling in, Lucien. That was great.
No problem. I have to show my love. I have to show my support. So I.
I hope you'll call in again. Thanks.
I will.
All right.
Bye.
Anyway, Lucien's great. But in any case, what was I going to say? The other point I wanted to address was what Lucien had just said about Christianity. I wanted also to say that even though atheists are not supposed to subscribe to deities, I think that there are some atheists in the community, and I've seen this personally, that that while they don't believe in a God, they basically assign godlike powers to the Illuminati or the Trilateral Commission or the Bilderberg or whoever else they imagine is in on this conspiracy. And you know, so we can't just put irrational thinking on the religious, although they do have a different motive.
Of course. I mean, and some people like to think that simply because you're an atheist, that makes you rational. And that's clearly not the case, because there are some atheists that push some irrational views, and they say it's not a religion. It's not a religion, you know, but it's not based on sound thinking or logic. So.
And that's why I think a lot of the conspiracy theory, like the way that people can construct these things for themselves, it can kind of become a religion, you know, and your priests would be people like Alex Jones and David Icke and, you know, whoever else, you know, what's that guy's name?
Mike Adams from Natural News.
Mike Adams from Natural News. Who else? Of course, if you're into white supremacy, then Turner, I forget this guy's first name, but, you know, the Turner Diaries, and, you know, there's a lot of conspiracy theories, these same conspiracy theories hooked up with white supremacist groups, but they also have a belief in a race war coming attached to it,
mm-hmm.
you know, all sorts of things. Yeah. So, yeah, anybody have anything else they want to bring up with 8 minutes to go?
I just wanted to make a quick comment. I mean, I come from the position that all your beliefs inform your actions. So if you hold a belief that's particularly pernicious, let's say that you say that you believe that the government is inherently evil and cannot redeem itself on any ground, it's going to affect your involvement with it. You may not vote.
Right.
You may discourage other people from voting.
You might decide to get your children vaccinated.
Right. You do all
you
these things that...
You may not enroll them in school. You may...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You may get involved in a cult that, you know, mm-hmm. believes in these things, and your child may be abused, or you yourself may be abused. I mean, you could lose a substantial part of your life. I mean, some people don't talk to relatives. Some people, you know, they fall further into depression. Some people, you know, have their other mental illnesses exacerbated by belief in these things.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I have to read you all what Ralph was saying on the event page. He's basically saying, talking about these particular conspiracies are all unmitigated, ignorant as low-class bullshit. He says, basically, if he's listening, you know, tomorrow, anyone who perpetrates this, he's calling in, which should prove to be a very interesting conversation. He says, this is superstitious made-up crap that gullible ghetto ignoramuses who know nothing about anything outside of their neighborhood eat up. is called The Bean Pie Theory of History.
Wow.
I mean,
that's a little harsher than I would be. And I'm not known for being particularly easy on things.
Right.
But I don't think that you can really categorize it so clear. I mean, again, these people are suffering for the most part from a crippled epistemology. They don't know how to vet a source, how to critique sources properly, how to reason through these things, even when they don't have access to materials that would, debunk them, So it's, and especially in an area that is economically depressed, like the ghetto, you're going to have fewer libraries, you're going to have fewer access to resources. Your education, we know, is not very, very good throughout the U.S., but particularly within our inner cities. So, I mean, you have to consider socioeconomics and how that plays a role in how people believe, and the sociological data on this bear out. Minorities in particular are more vulnerable to believing in these conspiracy theories.
Mm-hmm.
So. But go ahead.
I think I'm trying to think the main point he's pushing is ignorance. The reason that people accept these theories the way that he put it is blunt and in your face, but I think that's the whole point is just that this is ignorance.
I think it's a little more than blunting in your face.
Yeah.
It's just a little, I think it's a little not to evoke acting as though not to evoke this term in the conspiratorial way, but it's a little elitist, perhaps.
Is Ralph
that.
The professor? Is he the professor, or am
I
wrong?
He is a professor. In any case, what I was going to say, and this is last few minutes, there is a website called What's the Harm. And on whattstheharm.net, they actually do have a page talking about what's the harm in believing in conspiracy theories. And, they have an elderly couple that was arrested after a police standoff because they believed that there was a conspiracy to deprive Americans of their life and liberty. They had stockpiled supplies and stopped paying taxes, and they had a standoff with the police. They're like 60-some-odd years old. Crazy, right? Then there's a college professor. He was fired, from his unpaid. He had an unpaid fellowship. So really, he was in the same position that he started. He wasn't being paid in the first place. But there's some others who've been they've gone to prison because they've committed felonies in pursuit of trying to prove whatever conspiracy theory they believed in. There's one guy, he died, because his parents decided that there was a Zionist conspiracy to rule the world. So they took refuge, I guess, in this mountaintop home. And the police had arrived, and their son ended up dead at 14. And of course, because of governmental conspiracies concerning, these things, and we talked about how if you're prone to believing in one conspiracy, you're prone to believing in others. Of course, there are thousands of children who've either been hurt or have died because their parents did not seek medical attention or vaccinate them properly. So these things do have consequences.
Yep.
So you should probably, look at your beliefs and constantly question them. I mean, I like to test my beliefs every so often. And we have 1 minute left, so everybody check out Rev X and his blog. Check out his Twitter especially. Check out Marcus's. check out Marcus's YouTube channel, PMI06. check him out on the internet, Google him. Check out tomorrow's show with Kim, where she's going to talk about conspiracy theories, and more specifically, can you mute yourself, whoever that is? In any case, and also check out Kim's show on Black Freethinkers, where she's going to be talking about, sort of the psychology and sociology behind these things a bit more. And as always, we thank you for listening. We thank you for your time. I hope we've helped you guys to think better. And hopefully thinking better will help you do better. So thanks a lot. We appreciate it. So. Yeah.